Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Lego Masters Recap here on Reality TV Rehap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and today we're going to be discussing the holiday Lego Masters Bricktacular Champion Holiday Special. Yeah. And with me, my co-host as always, ready to get her brick on, it is Marisa Connors. Marisa, how are you?
I am doing awesome. We have another live in-person recording like we had last season.
Yes, we recorded, I think it was one of just the episode recaps that we did in person over the summer of last.
No, it was the finale.
Oh, was it the finale?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I don't remember anything. Anyway, we are together here for the holidays, and we wanted to spread our very own holiday cheer by covering the three-episode arc with the Lego Masters official title. I did write it down. Lego Masters Celebrity Holiday Bricktacular. And there is a champion crowned where four former Lego Masters contestants got together with four celebrities. Fox reality TV celebrities, and they competed in, I guess, technically four different challenges. So They aired a total of three episodes, but the finale was 2 hours. So we're going to go through all of those, talk about the, you know, all of the holiday cheery builds that we got to see from this special.
Yeah, this was a fun, you know, wrap up. They did it three consecutive nights, which is actually quite a bit right around the holidays, which is why we're getting to it a little late. But a lot of fun. Definitely had a lot of cool, you know, builds from the prop masters and Nathan Swaya in the background. The fireplace was really cool. A lot of stockings, toys, presents. Everything looked great on set. They even changed the 1 hour call lights to have not just red, which is scary, but also green. So it was festive as well.
They changed the colors, also the bricks in the transition screen and all of that, the title screen. So that was all very cool. This is something that I think I'm trying to look it up now, but I think Australian Lego Masters has done something similar to this. So I think this is the US's version, which they hadn't, you know, had never done before. This is right. The first year. So overall, yeah, the Brickmas specials is something that the Australian show has done. And this is the first time that we've seen it in the US.
And it gave us a lot of Lego Masters in the period of a week because we had the 2 hour finale of the regular season. Mm-hmm. And then we jumped Monday to 1 hour, Tuesday to 1 hour, and then another 2 hours on Wednesday. So packing in all of that Lego goodness right at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. Within a week, we had what?
Six hours. Yeah.
Oh my God. And we did binge all of these together as a family.
So very fresh in our minds and also fun.
Yeah, a lot of thoughts. Okay, well, let's talk about the contestants on the show. So we got a good smattering of contestants. We had two from season one. We had Mel, who competed on season one, who got eliminated in the bridge challenge about halfway through the season. And then Boone, who was a runner up from season one. And he actually, we find out in this special, and he's posted about it on social media, but he actually has now been hired since finishing the show and now works at LEGO in Denmark, which is pretty cool. And he was a fan favorite. Totally makes sense to bring him back.
Yep.
We also had Natalie from season two. You may remember her from wearing a lot of jumpsuits. I think that was her.
And very brightly colored hair.
Yeah. And then we had Dom, one of the TikTok kids from season three. So those were the LEGO contestants and then the celebrities.
Yes, very exciting celebrities. We get our Masked Singer contingent here with Robin Thicke, who gets paired up with Boone, which turns out to be actually a great pairing. Apparently, we get Finesse Mitchell.
Yeah.
Who gets paired up with Natalie, who's on SNL as a comedian as well. We get Leslie Jordan, who gets paired with Mel, which was also a very fun pairing. I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. And Leslie Jordan was just amazing. And then we also get Cheryl Hines, or as I keep trying to call her, Chrissy Hines, which is very different.
Yeah, no. Different person.
Paired with Dom, which was also kind of a fun, like, you know, pseudo mother son pairing almost, which is entertaining.
Yeah, it was adorable. And no one got eliminated in this whole series. So it was just, you know, you're competing with your teammate throughout. The celebrity is learning about LEGO, that was one thing that I noticed, was it felt like none of the celebrities really knew much about LEGO, except probably their kids was the big, seemed to be the big one, because all of them talked about, oh, my kids play with LEGO, and blah, blah, blah. So that felt like a cute little through line, but they learned a lot.
Yeah, maybe. Some pick things up, you know, faster than others. So we'll talk about that. But it was kind of fun seeing them get into it. And, you know, it's holiday season, so non-elimination. They're playing for, each celebrity is playing for a charity. So the pair, you know, that wins each episode gets a donation made in their name for their specific charities. So,
Yep. Well, let's jump right on into the first episode. So this was the snowmobile challenge, where each of the groups had to create a snowmobile, which was going to be launched off of a ski jump, I think is what they call a ski jump, and jump over their little winter wonderland housing setup thing. And the way that they had done a lot of these challenges was that there was some type of almost like strength competition piece for the first element, and then aesthetics came into play. So the top two for this one, it was which car went the furthest, and then the top two would be judged based on aesthetics.
Yeah, so we get a little bit of our both, you know, storytelling and technique kind of mixed in together on these. So I think that was it was made it kind of fun, so that it's not just all strength or all aesthetics.
So Mel and Leslie went first, and Leslie's raising money for the EB Research Partnership, and their character was the Carrot Hijacker. It was like this snowman thing with a very angry carrot on top.
Yeah, so there. Well, and the snowman face reminded me, so there's the two Jack Frost movies around Christmas. One is the horror movie. One is not. And the face on the snowman made me think of that, but the premise is the carrot from his nose goes, you know, revolts and hijacks the snowman, I guess. And it was fun. We learned Leslie Jordan can make some pretty good snowballs. That was that was awesome. He gets complimented on his snowball technique and how fast he picked it up by the judges. They had, you know, had to kind of rebuild their car at one point because of the way they were building it didn't look as strong. And I don't think they knew starting this competition how the launch mechanism work, which seemed a lot stronger than I was expecting as well. So right. I get that.
I believe at one point, I can't remember if it was during the critiques of Mel and Leslie, but the LEGO Masters judges had said something about being able to withstand the launching process.
Right.
But I think it's one thing to just be told that. It's another thing to then actually see it in practice. So I don't know if they got the ability to do that. But yes, our dad had a very interesting comment that I wrote down when looking at the shame that he was doubting the ability of the snowball yeah. to be able to make it pass because it was a very round shape. It didn't look very aerodynamic per se.
Sticking up. Yeah.
The characterization was really great, but it didn't look like they were making it necessarily for, you know,
aerodynamics.
Yeah.
It was.
Mm-hmm. So they launch theirs. I mean, still makes it 20 feet and 6 inches, which is pretty impressive. And the way that they had designed it also was on the inside of the snowman car thing that they had built. There were transparent blue bricks. So when it exploded, it had this extra element, which looked really cool. And the snowman car made it the entire way. The poor carrot was not so lucky.
Never made it off the ramp.
This is a theme.
Yeah.
You're going to see with a lot of
throughout all of these. Scars. But yeah, we've seen that in past, you know, Lego Masters where they have an explosion or something's going to break apart. And so you try to stack the inside so that you get this color explosion. They actually did that, I think, pretty well. It looked pretty when it broke apart.
Mm-hmm. Natalie and Finesse were up next. Finesse was raising money for breast cancer research, and their whole theme was the North Pole Airmail, where there were these cute little ornament characters that were delivering letters to Santa?
Yes, I assume? That's what I got out of it. Yeah, so it's once you mail your letter to Santa, how does it get it to the North Pole? And so their car had, it was a good looking car. It had the ornament character faces were really fun and they named them after the three other Lego Masters contestants, which was kind of funny too. But they did something where they didn't secure the contestants in the car to the car. I don't know if you noticed that. And Jamie does make a comment about it, but he said there's no seat belts or no restraints, I believe is how he phrased it.
Yeah, there were no seat belts. I think they were hoping that they would just get pushed back into the body of the car may have been.
Could be.
Or they didn't care about the ornaments making it.
Or maybe they thought the ornaments would get launched out the front or something.
Maybe. But I don't think they made it either.
No, they didn't. So all the interior content seemed to not make it. The car itself was launched nicely.
Right. It landed on its wheels, too.
That was cool. I think that was the only one that landed fully on its wheels that we could tell anyway.
Mm-hmm. And they managed to go further than Mel and Leslie, making it 25 feet and 5 inches. So they're currently in the lead. Remember, the top two are Move On to then be judged based on aesthetics. Boone and Robin Thicke are up next, and theirs is Santa's Little Secret.
Which, this is we talked about this a little bit and we'll probably talk about it going forward, but this seemed slightly less PG rated than some of the other episodes that we've watched, the whole series of these three. But at one point, you know, Robin Thicke's getting really into it and he says, well, even if our car sucks, we don't suck. So that's an interesting choice. But their car does end up flying. So they've got their premise is they've got a Christmas tree character delivering a pink Cadillac to Mrs. Claus because she needed a pink Cadillac for her present.
Yeah, she doesn't get enough gifts. But then I don't understand, then how does the tree get home? Because he's like, does the tree then just live with them now? Like the tree lives at the North Pole. It's maybe the tree's also going home.
Maybe the tree is free range. It just lives outside in winter.
Those are my favorite. Free range chickens. Free range trees.
Those cage trees. Poor cage trees.
And well, one of the critiques that the judges were nervous about is that it was a bit heavier than the other ones. And so if that's going to pay off for them, which it did, they managed to make 25 feet, 11 inches, although the tree fell out.
The tree fell out. Of course. I know. Nobody's actual drivers are making it out into the crash, which I guess better to fall out before the crash.
That's what I think. I think they just hit the eject button and bailed.
Yeah, right. Everybody has ejector seats on this.
I'm not doing this. Yeah. I'm out of here. Well, but yeah, the car, I guess, made it sort of.
Yeah. So it makes it decently far and still breaks apart. But it was a pretty good looking little Cadillac. It had the fins and everything. I
like
that.
It definitely looked the most like a traditional car.
Even though this is a snowmobile challenge. So I don't like.
Was it a snowmobile?
Yeah. They're all supposed to be snowmobiles. So
everyone wrote down snowmobile.
So like no one really went the actual snowmobile route, which, you know, I guess creativity and storytelling.
Yeah, I guess maybe Natalie and Finesse maybe have the most.
Theirs might be the closest, yeah.
Because that's why they weren't strapped in, because you don't have seatbelts.
And a snowmobile, there we go. See, they're all very realistic.
See, got it. The final team, Dom and Cheryl Hines, were, I forgot to mention that Robin Thicke is raising money for the American Red Cross. Right. Cheryl is raising money for United Cerebral Palsy, and they have no present left behind with their main character, Eroy the Elf, that is delivering the last present that Santa left behind.
Yeah, they had a very cute character. He's panicked because Santa left this present behind and he's trying to make it to Santa. So he turns a Christmas tree into a rocket sled.
Yeah, a rocket
snowmobile.
Ship,
yeah. So they have this kind of a cool design of the Christmas tree on its side, you know, with flames coming out the back of the tree. The tree's very ornate. They make a lot of fun of Cheryl Hines making all these light, you know, jewelry looking things. but then, you know, when it comes to the judging and the aesthetics, they do say that it looked really good. It kind of tied the tree together, really tied the tree together. Yeah, it was a fun build. It was very busy for me compared to the other builds, as far as, you know, a lot of intricacies and a lot of detail.
I mean, it looked like a Christmas tree that was cut in half and then strapped rockets to the back, which is obviously what they're going for. The only thing is that the way that they had built the Christmas tree was a frame, like a thin frame, and then they adorned it with all of the Lego branches.
They were very kind of light and delicate looking. Yeah.
So as soon as it was launched, the tree and everything on it is immediately stripped off. The whole thing is gone. The only thing that lands is the flat bottom plate, and I think maybe the wheels.
Well, there were the wheels were the definitely wheels they were it. Tiny, but they were like they were built into that frame, so they did have wheels. I did notice that. I don't think it landed on the wheels, but yeah, you have basically there's just a flat plate that makes it the farthest. Which I mean, that's a lot less weight to go for.
I mean, yeah. And Elroy the Elf was like on the ramp.
Oh man, his head fell off. It was, yeah, he fell apart. It was pretty.
Yeah, but I mean, the what remained of their car managed to make it 27 feet and 10 inches, which puts them in the winner spot. So Boone, Robin Thicke, and then Dom and Cheryl Hines are the top two teams for this. But like, I mean, okay, I understand that the whole premise of the challenge was that the thing you make, as long as it makes it the furthest, but it didn't.
It feels like it should more complete of it should have to make it that far. I agree.
I don't know how you do that. Do you like weigh it before and after of like what remained
like what
intact?
Percentage what percentage?
Yeah, exactly. You have to get, you know.
And then you sweep up all the bricks.
50% of your car across like that. Because I think they managed to scrape 10%, if that.
Well, and you've put these, you know, celebrities through 6 hours of building already. So maybe they.
They're like, whatever.
It's for celebrities. It's for charity. It's fine.
Right. So now we have the pink convertible going up against the half Christmas tree rocket ship. And it is Dom and Cheryl who end up taking the win here, which, again, I get that it's based on aesthetics. And so it doesn't really matter. But I just felt like more should have made it across finish
line.
No,
I agree.
But I'm not upset at the win here. I can't be mad.
Nope. They won. So they end up winning $10,000 for Cheryl's charity, United Cerebral Palsy. So that was awesome, too. Right. They go 2 feet further than anybody else.
Yeah.
Just about. So,
I mean,
when you have much less bricks, I guess.
Exactly. 90% less bricks than everybody else.
You
it makes sense.
Shape it like a Concorde. It flies farther.
Okay, that was all of episode one. So we end up with winner again, as I mentioned before, no one eliminated because we are just having fun and playing for charity.
They continue the tradition that they've done this past season two of matching outfits in this first, at least in the first episode. Everybody's matching very well, except Robin Thicke and Boone both have plaid on, but Robin Thicke has his coat of many colors on that is very patchwork. And then that theme just goes away for him.
Yeah. So the team of Dom and Cheryl, they were essentially Christmas sweater vests
matching
throughout
vests,
the whole thing, which was pretty cute. You also had Mel and Leslie who wore the same shirt. Like exactly
kind of
the
a
same
Hawaiian
shirt.
Type shirt, but with Christmas themed stuff.
Right. Throughout. Natalie and Finesse both wear jumpsuits the first time, and then Finesse is like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
But at least it's the same color.
It was the same color. They looked sort of similar. And then, yeah, as Marisa mentioned, Robin Thicke was wearing a coat that looked like you had taken Boone's wardrobe, cut it up into a bunch of pieces, and re-sewn it together.
Yeah, it was a coat of many colors.
For episode one, and then they just,
and
he
then
just
he
stopped
just after. Starts wearing whatever, you know, he's following his stylistic from Masked Singer and just kind of goes rogue.
Exactly. Remember, he still has to dress himself. It's always a trying time for him.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's talk about episode 2. Oh, that was the other thing about these is that the build times were obviously less. I believe it was 6 hours for episode 1, 7 for episode 2. So, you know, they're not going to make the celebrities be there for the 12-hour builds that they put the other contestants
through. Although we get close in the finale.
That's true. That's true. It does get close in the finale. All right. So we're back for, as Will describes, Lego Ho-Ho-Ho Masters. It sounded better when he said it.
I have
it.
That written down as well.
And this is where the contestants are tasked with creating a new sleigh for Santa. Santa 2.0, if you will. But what's obviously unique about this challenge is that it is not really based on aesthetics. It is mostly based, at least to get you to the top two, is a what the bridge challenge was that we saw in season 1. So which sleigh can hold the most weight between two chimneys, which was a 4-foot span. That gets you to the top two. And then after that, based on aesthetics.
So yeah, it looked like, you know, everybody's builds had to look a lot like a sleigh. So this is a little more representative than the snowmobile challenge in that. So they had two runners that ran between these chimneys that were holding all the weight and then build the sleigh that's going to hold, you know, all the presents and Santa on top. And they get, so the part of the challenge is they've got, you know, a Santa that's 35 pounds. They've got different toys that are rated at different pounds. And then they end up adding all these to their sleigh to see who can weigh the most. Again, like the previous challenge, the top two go into the final judging for aesthetics.
Mm-hmm. Natalie and Finesse are up first and they build the sleigh that slays. One thing that I noticed about them is that they had super long skis that sort of span the width, and then their actual sleigh itself felt like very tiny
in comparison. In the middle.
Which, again, they're limited. They only have 7 hours, so I don't think they can't build like maybe what the builders would necessarily want to do. But yeah, and this was like all black with yellow, red, and gray is sort of.
Kind of the white spikies out of the back looked like icicles. They went for a sleigh for high fashion, or a new fashionable sleigh. They seem very fashion oriented in this set of three episodes.
I guess it was fashionable because it was black.
I guess
I didn't really get the fashion part, but I don't know. I know I talk about Drag Race, but I don't know. I just do camp. I don't do anything like real high fashion.
Most of what I know from fashion is from that one Flight of the Conchords song.
Okay,
fashion. So yeah, that's me. I think in having that more condensed in the center, it centralized the weight instead of spreading it out too much, which, they still hold a decent amount in their sleigh, but.
Right. I mean, they end up with a total of 185 pounds, which it was interesting to see how the weights were chosen to be added. It was almost like how much faith do the Lego Masters, either producers or judges, have in the build that you made? So they get to start out with 35 pounds. Okay,
Santa in there.
Yeah, they're starting out solid. Spoiler alert for Dom and Cheryl. Oof. They start with 1 pound.
Yeah.
Clearly they do not have good faith in what they built. But for Natalie and Finesse, they felt at least comfortable enough. They started with the 35-pound Santa, 50 pounds, and then started doing 20-pound increments to get them up to a total of 185. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was fine. I think it felt very clear that they had run out of time. I know that Natalie had some technical issues with getting the Technic to line up with the studs not on top. I can spell.
We've only been doing this 3 seasons. That is one of the basic techniques.
Eventually I'll learn. And so despite that, I think they managed to create something that was fine. It just, the proportions I think were a little bit off, and that's probably due to the time constraint.
Right. Yeah. I think you're right, because I think even kind of the adornments they give it to give it the aesthetics seemed a little rushed at the end, the way they were attached and everything. Yeah. So I think you're right. I think the technical aspect of this slowed them down a little bit.
Dom and Cheryl are up next. And as we mentioned, theirs looked a little bit shaky, but their theme was It Takes Two. They had both Mr. and Mrs. Claus delivering gifts. They had put them sort of at the front of the sleigh. And then their whole thing was very white, Christmassy style.
Yeah, their adornments had a lot of kind of the lights again. I think Cheryl learned that technique and was good at it. And Dom was like, go for it. Do it again. They had a wreath on the back that looked really nice. And then they kept it kind of light, but they had some issues with things lining up too at the end, I believe, that they had a gap in where the rails connected to the body of the sleigh. But yeah, like you said, they, instead of just going for it, like, you know, Will was kind of telling the teams what weights to add at first. Mm-hmm. So in this one, yeah, they start with one. They have get up to 36 pounds and cracks start developing. And eventually they only make it to 86 pounds.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was Boeing already before they had put any weight on it. So I don't think anybody really had high hopes. I thought it looked cool. The wreath that they had made, as you mentioned, Marisa, some of the techniques that they had used for their Christmas tree, also like car, sled, snowmobile, also had made it into the sleigh, which I think was very cool to have that sort of thematic through line. But the strength element of it was not necessarily there. And Dom admits he's not a big technic guy. They're really good at sculpting. That was something that we saw from them in season three. But the strength here, they only managed to make it to 86 pounds total. Well,
and that was the thing, is they choose that 1 pound at the beginning. And instead of, you know, lightly putting it in your sleigh to, you know, lessen the blow, he just like shoves it in there. It's like, don't do that.
Maybe he was going for a record.
Yeah, right.
1 pound
it
breaks.
Didn't hold 1 pound.
Couldn't even hold. You know, you're not going to win. Yeah, so why not, you know, make a record out of it. Mel and Leslie are the next contestants to show off their rocket, their sleigh bridge thing. And this is, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is the challenge. The bridge challenge is what Mel was eliminated on. And he took that personally.
Yeah, no, that was this was kind of redemption, but also made him very nervous. And they, you know, in the edit, they kind of allude to that a little bit, and that Will tells Boone not to give him any crap about it, basically, because he might not take it well this time around. So then Boone offers a hug and he gives him a hug. And that was very sweet. Because this was Boone's winning challenge.
Yes, exactly. I know. Can you imagine being there with your former contestant being like,
the bridge
the hell,
that
guys?
They. Well, and it was Boone and Mark's bridge got to 1,000 pounds, and they were like, okay, we're not going to keep adding stuff because we don't want this to, you know, blow up and hurt somebody, basically.
It's a
lot of pressure on Mel to redeem himself.
If I were Mel, I'd be like, rigged. Yeah. This is rigged. Okay.
Well, and that was something we kind of talked about when we were watching this episode, was because this challenge is so similar to that bridge challenge, like how much of an advantage do these two have having gone through that challenge versus the other two teams that have not had something like that?
Well, I mean, just look at how much weight it holds.
Yeah.
Mel and Leslie
do
better, as well as Boone and Robin. So, yeah, I mean, clearly it had theoretically some type of an effect. But Mel and Leslie Jordan, their theme was rocket around the Christmas tree. This was the one that looked the most like a sleigh.
Absolutely. This was, I think, my favorite. The way they had the rockets and the fins in the back made me think of some like 1950s, you know, sedans with the fins, and the way the lights look in that. They put snow kind of along the edges, so it looked very wintry. I agree. I think out of all of them, I like the look of this sled the best.
There's also something about a cow.
Oh, yeah, because Leslie wanted to have something about the cow and the grandmothers, because they were going to jump over the moon and over the hill, you know, moon for the cow, hill for the grandmother, to deliver presents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they had a Santa logo on the side riding a cow.
Yeah.
Very cute.
So, yeah.
They get to start with 35, no 1 pound weights, weights for them. And they end up getting a total of 320 pounds, which if you're keeping track, clearly puts them in the top two. And this is more than what Mel had done. I think they were eliminated at 125
in the bridge
challenge. So, you know.
Yeah, definitely a redemption. Mm-hmm. You know, very excited for the both of them. And I think that was awesome to see.
Mm-hmm. Boone, Robin Thicke, the final team to go, and they build Santa's supersonic sleigh, the electric version, because as Will says, reindeer gas is so expensive.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Yeah, they, I mean, it was, they kind of had this blue theme. It did look very sleek and nice. I don't think it looked as sleigh-like as Mel and Leslie's, but, you know, it was pretty strong. And they keep adding, they get to, so they needed 186 pounds to beat out Finesse and Natalie for the second place. And so they take it exactly to that just to prove a point because they get to 185 and then add a single weight just to make sure they get over it. But then they keep adding weight and it's definitely, you know, Boone's building techniques for the structure definitely show up here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense because, and I think I probably said this, we talked about the bridge challenge, but if you like, let's say your bridge is holding 300 pounds and you put a 35 pound weight on it, that doesn't mean it couldn't have held 310 pounds.
Right.
So you want to be right over that just in case,
Exactly.
And so they end up making it all. I mean, it doesn't really matter. They end up making it all the way to 521 pounds before it ultimately ends up collapsing.
They have a great. So Boone in his season was known for a lot of singing. And obviously Robin Thicke is a musician. That's part of why he's on Masked Singer. And so they come up with a wonderful song called Sleek and Sexy Santa for their sleigh, which they come up with a lot of songs throughout this three episode thing.
I don't know if this is because we watched it we binge watched it. We watched them back to back to back. But first of all, it felt like Robin Thicke was getting more and more unhinged as the series progressed.
Absolutely.
And additionally, the music became more and more annoying as we progressed. I was like, I don't care about seeking sleek and sexy Santa. Also, why are you singing about that?
Yeah.
But that was just a side note.
Just a little commentary.
Throughout. Well, math wise, we get Mel, Leslie, and Boone and Robin as our top teams. Leslie and Mel were the winners, which I think I would have rioted if it hadn't been the case, because theirs clearly looked the best. I think Boone and Robin Thicke had some weird proportions, looked like cut off on the front and stuff. And so I think Leslie and Mel were absolutely the right choice as the winners.
Well, and it's still a Christmas theme, right? I mean, Robin and Boone's didn't really look Christmassy at all. It was like, okay, here's a blue rock. It could have fit in with the, you know, two car episode that we had in last year to this past season. You know, the blue car that we had there.
The NASCAR challenge. Yeah. It looked like a superhero sleigh kind of, with the big lightning bolts on the side.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if it quite, but they were just trying to take the interlocking Lego bricks and use that for strength. And so they just had this sort of like big solid kind of thing.
Yeah, we were learning. That is one thing that we noticed, though, is that Robin gets into the building. He's like learning technique and really getting excited about it. And I think that actually might have helped their team a lot building wise, because he was picking up on it fast. It seemed like he was really, you know, dedicated to this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you want when you're bringing someone in who doesn't really know anything. You just want them to be excited and appreciate what they're doing. And I think that Robin executed that to a T, although it got weirder and weirder as we went, but he was loving it.
So. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, all of the celebrities seemed like they were having a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But I think of the two of them, I think actually Leslie Jordan and Robin Thicke seemed to take to it the fastest.
Right. The most. So those are the first two episodes. The third episode is 2 hours. So we essentially get two challenges. I assume they were filmed on two different days. They just made them wear the same outfit for both. And so the two challenges were the winner of the final challenge ultimately got the donation to charity, where the first challenge was just an advantage going into the second challenge. So
we forgot to say that. So since Leslie Jordan won, he got his $10,000 for EB research as well.
Yes, exactly. So the winner of each challenge got $10,000 or $20,000, the winner of the finale for their charity. Yep. The first part that got you the advantage for the final challenge was to build the coolest new toy out of Lego bricks. And the key here is that it is meant to be played with because you want it to be the top of every kid's wish list. And the twist, because there's always a twist, is the power functions, which they had to add. And then the twist on the twist, because there's always a twist on the twist, is the live infomercial that the contestants had to film starring themselves, which is, you know, celebrity endorsement time.
Yep.
multiple angles to this. And I think that the infomercial was key to show off the being able to be played with, because you actually had to interact with the toy that you had created. And I thought that was a really clever way to show off that functional part, I guess, of the build.
Right. The judges wanted to see the hands-on. They wanted to make sure the toy didn't fall apart when you get the hands-on. There's a lot of elements to that, you know, infomercial that showed off parts of the judging criteria.
Mm-hmm. And they had a total of 6 hours for the first part of the build. Hopefully not have the whole thing fall apart. And I really like this because I think each of the teams had a super unique way of looking at the challenge. They all built things that felt completely different, all different types of toys. So Dom and Cheryl are up first, and they build the Treacherous Treasure Hunt, which is a board game. That's the toy that they ultimately create.
Yeah, so I just watched part of Jumanji not too long ago. So this kind of made me think of that. So, you have this board where you have different colors. They built the spinner with the colors, which I thought was kind of neat. It made me think of the game of life, I guess, that spinner. And then you move through the board, and red spots are these danger spots where they have kind of the interactive part of this game where, you know, you have a big snake that pushes you into a snake pit, or you have the monkeys, which try to lure you into a pyramid scheme, I believe they said, which is really funny. And then their power function was built into this big tiger arm that would come in and smack you off the board.
Mm-hmm. They had a few other ones, a piranha plant, and they also had a geyser that geyses.
The geyser that geyses, yes. A very technical geologic term there.
Linguistics of geysers. I guys, you guys.
I guys, we geyses.
He, she, it geyses, yeah. I mean, this was really cute. I love the idea of doing a board game. That's something I never would have thought of, but it's like, yeah, of course you're going to play with it. It's a game.
Right. And it's, I think visually it maybe didn't stand out as much as some of the other contestants because it's
flat,
you know. Yeah. I mean, for one, but I think it was fun. It's a game I would play, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the judges were very nice. Just in general, I think.
Yeah. There's a lot of very nice judging in these three episodes.
All right. So Dom, Cheryl, Hines, they build a board game. Boone and Robin Thicke go in a completely different direction. They build, this is where it starts. This is where the chaos really starts.
Yeah.
They build Boppy the Hip Hop Lemur Corn.
So they make a totally unique character, which is a lemur unicorn mix that is basically a lemur, but with a unicorn horn and a brightly colored tail. From what I could tell, that was the whole unicorn part and maybe the magic part, because it did have a magic wand to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also a karaoke set with a microphone.
He had also like a gold chain.
So, you know, he's money.
Yeah. But like, you know, what is it? Money talks, wealth whispers.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's new money.
You know
money.
What Robin thinks.
new money.
Yeah.
He had a cane also. Anyway, it was an interesting build. The movable parts for this is that the tail was actually the power function. So it would move. And then his mouth.
But you,
had like
there's a little thumb puppety trigger that kind of. Yeah, right. It made me think of the puppet episode, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it was fun, but obviously they had a good theme song to go with it. I think their selling of it was very much more dramatic than the board game as well. I thankfully do not remember the theme song right now, and I'm not going to sing it for you because I don't remember it.
Yeah, thank goodness.
So luckily I am not looking to get a Boppy the Hip Hop Lemur Corn.
That was creative.
It was creative. It was very creative. It made me think of there was a toy set called the Wuzzles back in the 80s that were these animal hybrid toys that was like a bee and a bear together. And so that's what made me think of their throwback to 80s kids. Enjoy that memory.
Their Wuzzle. Wuzzle?
Wuzzles.
Wuzzles.
Boppy the Wuzzle.
Yes, Boppy the Wuzzle. All right, so Boppy doesn't fall apart, which is good. That was nervous.
And they were playing him. His legs moved. They had him dance. Yeah, so it did stay together.
They did look very gentle with Boppy. They had to be very careful with the hip-hop lemur corn.
Yes.
Mel and Leslie make their Gingerbread Adventures for All, which was essentially a gingerbread castle that they had built. So they had sort of a candy cane spires-ish, and then they build a lot of sort of gingerbread things around it. I mean, theirs was cute. I think it was a good concept, right? It reminds me of that castle playset that I had as a kid.
Yeah,
you remember? And you
could,
like, launch
the little boulders that you
could
launch.
Boulders you could launch out of it. That's kind of what it was reminded me of. So I think that that's kind of what they were going with for their theme.
Yeah, I could see that.
But one thing that was missing was that they needed more characters to play with in the castle. Because it's one thing to have the castle itself, but you need to have something that can interact with the castle. And that's something the judges noted as well.
Yeah, they had one gingerbread man, which was kind of cute. And then they had this dragon, gingerbread dragon. I think it was gingerbread too, because it had that same brown color. But that was kind of it. They also had their power function was this kind of cool, it was like candy waterfall, I think. Yeah. So it had a lot of jewels that looked really pretty. Good use of the power function there, I believe.
Yeah. They had that monkey dragon thing too, that had the swoosh ability or whatever.
Yeah.
That
the was dragon. Yeah.
They did get some good play on words.
Very swooshable.
Very swooshable. Yes. That's
there's a lot of puns going on in these, which I come to expect.
They wanted to make it gender neutral. You know, Leslie talks a lot about how growing up wanting to play with toys that are typically gendered for females and not wanting those. And so, yeah, they were ginger neutral.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah, it was a bit of a hot mess, but look, it was fine. Oh, and Leslie Jordan tap danced.
Yes, that was his part of his infomercial is he tap danced and had streamers.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting.
Natalie and Finesse are up last, and they build the Dreammaker 3000, which looks like a vlogging set, essentially.
Yeah, it was a camera with a tripod. They had a microphone. They had some little props to go with it. They were kind of last-minute additions after some critiques from the judges. They had the clickerboard. What was it called? That you guys were... You should know the name of it.
Yeah, it's essentially a mixer kind of thing. The clacker, that thing. That's what you meant?
One that you had to figure out in Massinger.
Yes, I Googled it then and I don't remember it now. The clacker, the clicky clacker.
Yep.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, that thing.
Movie clacker. I think that the way that they sold it was really fun. So they had, there was some that didn't make sense, but they had some that did. It was like, is your kid, their whole point is that they're selling it to the parents,
which is the one
difference that they did. So it was like, is your kid bossy? They're just a director.
Yeah.
Is your kid dramatic? They're just an actress.
Right. But what was the one with the cameraman?
Yeah. If there's something, then they're just a cameraman.
Yeah. It seemed like they should be in front of the camera instead of behind. But yeah.
Right.
Oh,
our dad is trying to get us.
Watch me. An attention hog. Yeah,
If they're an attention hog, they should be a cameraman.
Yeah, that was the one that didn't make sense. Didn't make sense. Good thing we have backup today.
Right, exactly. The beta squad here. Yeah. The JV Lego Masters podcasters. Right. So their whole thing was like, give your kids something to play with when you don't want to play with them.
Well, and one of the critiques they get, which I actually didn't think about until I think it was Jamie that said it, was that you have the camera. So, you know, if there's multiple kids, you can have a group activity, but you also have the tripod. So if, you know, the kids by themselves, they can still do stuff, which I thought, I didn't think about that, but that is pretty cool.
Even if your kid has no friends, they can still play with the toy.
Even if your kid talks all the time, just give him a camera and send him away, just like we did with Liana.
Yeah, they'll film a cooking show or something. Who knows? I think their power function was the camera moving, but they also had a light on the camera, which looked like it was on.
That was a good touch. Yeah, the design of this was pretty cool. I liked the mustache on the stick. That was fun.
The top two teams, so Natalie and Finesse, end up in the top two, along with Robin and Boone, with Robin and Boone ultimately getting the win. Not going to lie, I was rooting for Finesse and Natalie.
Yeah, I was too.
I think the room was rooting for Finesse and Natalie, gauging the energy.
Our room in our house, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So Robin and Boone get the top prize. I think it might be the creativity in that one. You're creative in making what you make rather than making the thing that you made inspire creativity, I guess. So,
I mean, it was totally unique for sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that gives them an advantage going into the finale build, which this is the longest. They get 10 hours for the finale build, where they have to build a snow globe. They have to use light, movement, anything to make them stand out. And the advantage for the snow globe challenge was you got to pick what theme. So there were four set themes that each of the teams had to abide by. And they got to not only pick which theme they wanted, but also assign the other themes to the other three teams.
Yeah, we've seen something similar to this in previous episodes of the normal season. So they end up picking, I think our four themes are a snowy woodland forest, a candy cane lane, a toy factory, and a tropical holiday. Mm-hmm. And Boone and Robin end up going with the toy factory, which ends up feeding into their previous, their whole idea is centered around this previous toy that they have sold well enough that now there's all these orders.
It's Boppy the sequel.
Yeah.
Basically. Right. So their whole thing is that it's a toy factory to build Boppies. So Operation Boppy Copy is
Oppie,
what they,
Boppy Copy.
Oppie Boppy Copy. OBC is what they call their build. And the whole emphasis of their build is really the movement and what Boone is able to create, which Robin Thicke makes very clear. Yeah, that's on you, bud.
That's on Big Boone.
Yeah, it's a Big Boone's job to figure that out.
He'll figure it out.
Right. Where they have essentially a Christmas tree in the middle and then a conveyor belt that are spinning opposite directions.
Right.
As well as spinning elves that are working
on the seats
in seats in the factory. So the whole thing was spinning. It was very visually appealing, and I'm happy that Boone was able to get it working because mm-hmm. it just makes the whole thing come together. So they first, like, they put the lid on, they've got all the spinning, and then they add the snow flying in, so it really just made the whole thing come together.
Yeah, very colorful build. They had a lot of presents, you know, kind of around the outside, so a lot of multicolor that they brought into there. The characters of the elves looked really great, and then the assembly line, you know, they basically had kind of each stage of building Boppy in those. And mm-hmm. Visually is a very, very strong look.
And with the height of the tree, they were able to fill the space.
Right.
Which is something that the teams really tried to focus on, was like filling all of that negative space. And I think they did a really great job with that.
Yep.
Mel and Leslie are up next. They did the snow woodland forest, which wasn't really snowy. I mean, I know they added some snow later, right, but it felt very, it's like forest with a hint of snow.
Right. So their storyline is they have this fairy forest, and the fairies are having one last party, kind of snowball fight with the first snow of the year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So they did end up adding some snow to the bottom, but the whole tree was like barren. But what they did also was fill the space, because they right. had this big tree in the middle, almost too much, because when they went to put the snow globe on, they realized that it didn't quite fit, as they had these fairies at the very top that were spinning around. And we saw Mel try to adjust that to actually get them to fit right. in the snow globe, because it's not just, I think they probably measured vertical height, but didn't account for the curvature of the globe.
Right. Yeah. So they, you know, these snow globes, they have this big kind of glass dome or plastic dome that goes over the top for their builds. And it seemed like a lot of the teams did not check it beforehand.
Yes.
Or at least two of the teams did not.
Yeah.
So once they put that on, these fairies that are part of their motion is these fairies at the top that are kind of rotating and moving around, end up hitting the globe itself. But luckily, it seemed like kind of an easy fix. Instead of having them stick out the top of these little Technic connectors, they stick them on the bottom and it works.
I think he also may have changed the length of the pieces that they were sticking out, because they were different colors. They were black and then they were gray.
Yeah,
so I noticed that might have been a difference. And then they also had a side story with the Arnett fairy, which yes. was on a bear with a cape. Which was also there.
Yes. He was the leader of the fairies, I believe, because one of the comments, you know, the little bits during the episode is Will asks them to make a fairy of him with a cape.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go.
Well, I think he's wearing sunglasses. A yeah. Very cool looking guy. Natalie and Finesse have Candy Cane Lane, and so they do a unique interpretation of Candy Cane Lane by making it a fashion show, so turning the Candy Cane Lane itself into a runway. And as Marisa mentioned earlier, they were one of the teams that seemingly did not measure or test out their snow globe, because they had a sign that was over the runway that just did not fit, and at the last second, I think 8 seconds left, they were trying to put it on, it just didn't fit, it broke off, and they had to go without it.
Yeah, it was disappointing too, because the sign was really nice. It brought everything together. It kind of filled that top space, like a lot of the other teams were doing. But yeah, with less than a minute to go, they realized that the dome doesn't fit over it. So they try to take it out so they can take off a couple pieces, because it's kind of this red and white, you know, candy cane striping up that's holding up the sign. But they don't have enough time to take those off. They end up breaking the sign in the process and just have to go without it, which was too bad.
I thought they were going to give him like 30 seconds. I thought it's Christmas. It's the holidays. Give a gift. Give him 30 extra seconds. Let him finish the sign.
Yeah.
Come on. Nope. Nope. Apparently you will be disqualified. Nope,
we are still Lego masters.
This is very rigid. Yeah. No, no fudging that. So yeah. So unfortunately they have to go without the sign, but their movement is the models walking up and down
right.
the runway, which looked cool. Although they couldn't really pass each other. They just sort of like ran into each other
yeah,
a little bit.
Back and forth.
But they built themselves, which is fun.
Yeah, that was fun. And then Finesse does try to pull off the sign, you know, coming down as they didn't have the right permitting to build it, which, mm-hmm. you know, coming from the industry I'm in, I thought was funny. So.
Well, you got to work it into the story.
It's right, part of exactly. The whole thing. That was brilliant.
You're like, see, they just didn't have the right permits, didn't file it in time, yeah. and not enough bribery to go around.
Exactly. So, yeah, they, you know, having the little fashion show at the North Pole was a fun interpretation. We're back to the fashion thing. Apparently, they're very fashion oriented.
The final build, Dom and Cheryl Hines, they do Miracle in Miami. So they got Tropical Holiday was the theme for them. And so because Cheryl is from Florida, they decided to focus on Miami, where Santa was taking a vacation. And then there was a blue moon because it snows in Florida once in a blue moon that pops up. And then there's a bunch of both snow, like winter and summer activities going on as they have their vacation.
Yeah, this was, I think visually they did a really good job with this. They had the skyline of Miami, which is all the kind of pastel colored buildings. I think those looked really nice. Their lighting all went throughout the buildings and lit up the windows in the buildings. And then, yeah, it was kind of a combination beach and, you know, snow activities. So you had some jet skiing. You also had snowballs. It was really fun.
I think overall this looked really cool, the way they built the storyline or the storyline, the skyline. Too much eggnog.
Breathe.
So the city skyline looked really great. I think, though, they were missing a little bit of that upper space, which we saw some of the other teams fill out or try to fill out permits aside. But the moon, you know, they were able to get the trigger working for it to come up, which the judges really like because it moves their story forward. So including that, I think, was a good way to use that space, but maybe a little bit more would have sort of filled it out a bit better.
Well, and their motion was used a little bit differently, too, unlike the other teams where the motion stayed continuous and kept moving when you introduced the snow for the snow globe. Theirs was just a single motion, basically. Mm-hmm. So the moon comes up and then that's it.
Yeah.
So I think that was, you know, maybe not a smartest choice, but it's still, like Jamie said, move the story along. You have the blue moon and then you start the snow.
Mm-hmm. And on to the judging. So the way that they did it, they essentially told us the order of how they finished in terms of the final build. Leslie and Mel just missed the cut. First, so I assume they're in fourth.
Right.
Finesse and Natalie just missed the cut. They're in third place.
Yeah.
The top two, Robin and Boone, Cheryl and Dom, with Robin and Boone taking home the 20, or not taking home, I guess, they're giving it to charity, but getting the $20,000 for charity for the American Red Cross.
Yeah, I think I don't disagree with this. Yeah. I think, you know, the consensus in the room as we were watching this finale was, the build. That's the build that's going to take it home.
We talked about the fact that they went first, which sometimes they'll put the builds that are more competitive at the end.
Right.
So that you sort of build up to it. They did it with the rocket ship one.
Right.
But
the sleighs.
Both the sleighs and the snowplows.
Yeah.
Whatever. The launch one, the one where they launched it through a ring of fire. Okay, that one.
Yeah.
But here, we see him right out the gate, and it kind of felt like everything afterwards was like a good second place.
Yeah, right.
To the first one.
I'm not disappointed with the top two. I think the top two were.
Yeah, I mean, I think they all did well. I think it was just the movement of the top one that just is much more captivating, right?
Because
it's something you can't touch, you can't interact with it. And so you want something like visually exciting to look at. Movement, movement and lights are always going to do that. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that's everything that we had for the Holiday Bricktacular.
So, yeah, that's Robin ends up taking home $20,000 for the Red Cross. But since Finesse was the only one not to win anything for his charity, they do end up giving $10,000 to breast cancer research for him as well, which was nice. Some of the little bits in the middle of the episode that got me that we haven't talked about yet was the shade that...
Dom and Robin.
Yeah,
their relationship.
Kind of back and forth was fun. That was very entertaining to watch. We get a lot more kind of crap talking than other Lego masters, especially coming off the season where they try to get them to smack talk a little bit and it just doesn't work out. So that was kind of a fun thing to see.
This was like part of the, okay, so here's some examples of Robin Thicke becoming more unhinged as it moves on. Which, by the way, I'm going to steal this line, but he was talking about Dom and he was Dom's growing on me like a fungi.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, that was a good one. I like that one.
And then also Robin was talking about he wanted to burn Dom's sweater vest.
Yeah, so that was a strange
choice. That was weird. It felt, okay, here's what it felt like with the editors. The editors were like, okay, there's something that happens and then Robin Thicke says something weird right at the end that they're going to include in the cut that normally probably would have been dropped on the cutting room floor, but they really decided to include it. And I think it's because of this sort of descent into more and more chaos.
Yeah, ramp up as the episodes went on for sure.
It was funny. It was amusing. I was amused by it, so I'm not going to complain that it was bad. It was just weird.
Yeah. Towards the end of the final episode, you know, they have, was it Will Arnett that was describing each of the contestants in as far as, you know, what part of the family they were. Mm-hmm. And they get to Robin Thicke and he calls him the creepy uncle who says inappropriate things.
Yeah. Everyone else, totally the lovable grandpa.
Yeah, right. The siblings, the this.
And then I think Dom and Natalie were the kids that have to listen to Robin Thicke.
Yeah, right.
Or, you know, listen to the creepy uncle. Okay, that's a choice.
I also enjoyed the Cheryl Hines and Will Arnett trying to embarrass Dom with leet slang, because I love doing that to my friend's 12-year-old kid. I think it's very exciting to say sus and fleek and all those things very wrong because it's funny as heck.
I do that to my own husband.
Well, that too. Yeah,
the dabbing was included.
Yes, the dabbing was, oh man, I embarrass my husband when I dab too.
Yeah.
It's fun. And then also the PSA. We got a good PSA about putting lyrics to Christmas songs from Lego Batman himself, who says it's hurtful when you say Batman smells, like, and then throw shade at Robin Pattinson. Yeah.
I don't smell. Robert Pattinson might smell, but I don't smell. I mean, I think
it's just a fun set of episodes.
I would agree with that. I think that the challenges were fun. Obviously they're not going to be like as tippy top tier that we might see in the regular season, it was fun. It was fun to have the celebrities. It was fun to have all those kind of moments. And I think overall it was pretty enjoyable. It's going to be interesting to see if they decide to do this next year or not.
Yeah.
And what celebrities.
Oh man. I hope Robin they have Thicke Robin back. He's got to come back.
Yeah. For
He's got to be a guest on a normal season now too. There's no way. Mm-hmm. So I will say that, I was also thinking through all this, seeing him sing and seeing him sing with Boone makes a lot of sense, because Boone actually just released a Christmas album that is Christmas Time Machine. Mm. And I have not listened to it yet, but I'm sure it's amazing because he is a great singer.
We should look closely at the credits and see if Robin's name is anywhere in there in a producer credit or something.
Because we know this had to have been filmed like a while ago. So, you know, did that spark him wanting to do this? I'm curious. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious about that. So Boone, if you're listening, let us know.
Okay, that does it. So we are wrapping up now for the foreseeable future. Lego Masters Season 4, we know, is coming. Woo-hoo. It has been renewed. They're casting now. We don't know necessarily when that's going to actually be released. The first two seasons were over the summer. The third season was in the fall. So sometime in the next 6 to 9 months, we'll be back to talk more Lego Masters.
Absolutely. This has been a wonderful journey, as always, and an exciting end to get to do this holiday one on top as, you know, a little present for all of you, our listeners.
You're welcome. We expect thank you notes. All right.
Just like the episodes, this is going off the rails. Exactly. So, all right. Well, Liana, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. Taking a little bit of a break. Survivor is over. Masked Singer is over. But I will be back in early January for Drag Race. We're recording a preview podcast January, probably 2nd or 3rd. And then we'll be back for the season 15 premiere on the 6th of January. Marisa, what about you?
I am, as usual, on the Downfall of Twitter. You can find me at Shenera or through Liana in our Mentions About Lego podcast. You can also find me on Instagram at ML Boris. And I'm actually going to be starting something this coming year, because I got a page a day Lego ideas calendar from my dad for Christmas. So I think I'm going to build something and post it every day on Instagram. And since I've said it out loud to the internet, I have to do it now.
Legally, you have to do it. That's how it works.
So look for my interpretations of these Lego builds online.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, happy holidays, everyone. Thanks for listening along with us. And we will be back in 2023 with more Lego content.
Have a bricktastic day.
Yeah. And hit the bricks.
Woo!
Yay.
We're a clapping family.
We're a clapping family.